All right. So I'm Dave Jones, and I'm from the Utah Department of Health. And before I get started, I just wanted to thank some of the contributors to this project. First of all, I'd like to thank Sasha Zarov, my co-author on this particular abstract. He did a lot of the work on this project, and he was actually slated originally to be the speaker, but was unable to make it, so I'm glad that I got the chance to fill in for him. Also, I'd like to thank a few of the programs at our Department of Health that were involved in this particular project, the Environmental Epidemiology Program, the Office of Public Health Assessment, and the Informatics Program. And then last but certainly not least, I'd like to thank the funding agencies, CSTE, CDC, and NACHO for their support in my Applied Public Health Informatics Fellowship that I got the chance to actually work on projects like this at my Department of Health. So huge thank you to them. So there is a growing need in public health organizations for integration and interoperability. And one of the main reasons for this is there's a ton of disparate data sources. We have all these different silos that exist, and it can be for a variety of reasons, potentially due to funding mechanisms, also due to the nature of health departments having tons of different divisions, bureaus, offices, programs, so on and so forth, and each one of them has essentially their own little bucket of data. So we need to share this data, though, and it's not just a necessity, it's a reality. I'm sure that everyone in this room knows of some piece of data that they would love to get from a colleague that works in a different area of their Department of Health. And the way we go about doing this typically is we manually share it because that's simplest in our mind. And so we'll put it on a flash drive and walk it down the hall to our colleague, or we'll put it in a network drive and dump it there for them. But really, we can automate those processes, and it's more beneficial. It can be more secure. It can be reduce errors, things of that nature. And we can not only reduce some of the tedium and monotony of this data transfer, but also free up an employee's time rather than dealing with this manual data transfer. We can have something automatically doing it so that rather than handling the data transfer, they could be analyzing the data or they could be doing other tasks at the Department of Health. So at the Department of Health in Utah, we have an office called the Office of Public Health Assessment. And this office manages the indicator-based information system for public health. And essentially what this is, if you don't know, it's an information dissemination tool for the Department of Health to communicate what's actually going on, what indicators we're tracking, what knowledge we're gaining from the population's health in the state of Utah directly to the public. And so there's a whole variety of different offices, programs, and bureaus that are sending information to this system to be reported to the public. One such program that's doing this is the Environmental Epidemiology Program, and they manage the Utah Environmental Public Health Tracking. And in that, they're reporting blood lead testing to IBIS in order for that to be conveyed to the public in Utah. So some of the challenges with this process in the beginning is that blood lead indicators were updated annually in IBIS, and it was done manually. This is done in order to fulfill a national requirement for environmental public health tracking. But legislators, media, the public were interested in something that's more real time, even down to, you know, daily, essentially, being able to see what's going on with blood lead testing in the state daily. And for somebody to do that process of manually transferring this data on a daily basis, that would be ridiculous and is just not going to happen. So we needed to develop a way that we could more automatically do this process and take care of it in that way. But when you're looking at automating something, you know, putting a new system in place or a new methodology, obviously the bottom line in public health is time and money, and we all know we have limited resources. So you have to keep that in mind. And also, with all these different programs at the Department of Health sending information to this IBIS system, we have to look to build something that's quasi-universal, because we don't want to be continually reinventing the wheel every single time we're trying to tie in one program with IBIS. We want to make sure that we have a framework that can be adjusted with minor to moderate modification in order to make that data transfer happen quickly and cheaply. So essentially what we went for was a pretty simple methodology to accomplish this. Essentially, we just are translating data from SQL into SAS by way of XML. And so what happens is we have the blood lead lab results that come into the Department of Health electronically into our electronic data warehouse, which currently in Utah is Trisano. We're in the process of migrating this system to EpiTrax to update it. And both of these systems have a scheduler that is a part of that particular data warehouse. And with this scheduler, we can create a query that takes the SQL data, pulls it, and puts it into an XML file. This XML file is then transferred, or basically pushed out of this data warehouse, into our SAS server environment, and that's actually where the back end for the queryable side of IBIS exists. And then there's also a scheduler within the SAS environment that runs some SAS code and translates that XML file into a SAS file. And finally, an individual can go and query this data in the IBIS system. So what we really end up with is we have a more real-time interactive ability to query these blood lead indicators in IBIS. And these blood lead test result counts can be performed on a variety of different methods. So you can look at it by birth cohort year, test month, age, sex, race, ethnicity, blood lead level, specimen type, confirmation status, and or county. Some of the limitations that do exist, however, are that it's dependent upon the reporting lab's timeliness in actually getting this data to the Department of Health, as well as the capability of a lab to actually report their data electronically. If they're incapable of doing that, obviously it's not going to end up in the data warehouse, and we're not going to be able to push it to the end user. So this is actually a query example that I ran just last week. And one of the things that I kind of want to highlight here is that I did it by year and by month breakdown for blood lead levels or test counts in the state of Utah. And so essentially we implemented this change toward the end of 2016. And so for the most part, you can look at the 2016 data, which is in blue. And essentially this line of data and these points would not be uploaded to this system until the end of the year. So you would not know what's going on during the entire year of 2016 until essentially January of 2017. But now when you look at the yellow line, which is 2017, you can see a dot for every single month up until now, essentially. And one of the nice things is since this is being updated daily, if you were to run this query today, you would see a point for the month of June. And as the month goes on, if you were to query it the next day or next week, or so on and so forth, and just, you know, keep doing it until the end of the month, you would see that dot slowly increase as blood lead testing in the state of Utah goes on throughout the month. So really, what's next? Really, this model serves as a proof of concept, and we feel like this model could really be expanded to other programs in the Department of Health, like I had mentioned, with minor to moderate modification. Obviously, we have to ensure that we're maintaining the data integrity. We have to make sure that when this data is coming in the SQL format, that the fields are matching up as they transition from the SQL to the XML file, and then the XML file to SAS. So we just have to make sure that everything maps correctly. And also, other health departments using IBIS could potentially replicate this data flow. We feel like it could be useful. And one of the really interesting things is that a wide variety of the components that make up this system and this data transfer are freely available. So Trisano and EpiTrax, which is not currently available just yet, but will be, they're freely available. So health departments could definitely take advantage of those. And with that, I thank you for your time, and we'll entertain any questions.
Sofranic, State Deputy, Nebraska. What is the IBIS system? I'm sorry, I missed that. And what's the imperative for getting data, lead data, out of your NED system, which you're able to get in through automated electronic lab reporting? It's working just fine for the EPI people, but you wanted it over to IBIS. What is IBIS doing? What's the imperative for getting over there? And do you have any kind of confidentiality restrictions about getting reportable disease data out of the reportable disease group and over to whoever's looking at it in IBIS?
Yeah, for sure. So IBIS is basically the method for disseminating the information to the public. So media, legislators, public can can access this system and query that data at any point in time. And when the data goes into our NED system, it's a limited data set, and when it gets pushed out to IBIS, it then is considered aggregated data, and so is pretty much de-identified at that point. And so I don't feel like we have any issues with that, but I definitely could put you in contact with somebody who knows a lot more about that than I do.
Well, that's on that note, I mean, for the public, let us say, to see the June number and then slowly rise up, it's unusual for them to the possible confusion about that. That's, you know, if they think, well, it's the beginning of the month, but is that a policy decision to go ahead and release the data immediately as it's accumulating to any entity that wants it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what motivated the environmental epidemiology program to decide to go this route. I just feel like they had some fairly tech-savvy members of their staff that rather than, you know, manually pushing the data out, you know, monthly or whatever, they wanted to go with a more automated mechanism to do it. And I don't know how exactly they're informing the public that, yes, we're updating this on, you know, a daily basis, so this number is going to creep over time. I don't know if they have a mechanism for that on IBIS that explains it. I'm sure they've got it down somewhere, but I'm not certain.
Past, I've heard these brilliant presentations from Utah where they built this incredibly cool integrated public health information system for kids. It had a really kind of a cool acronym name or something. I can't remember. It was DIPER or some crazy thing. I can't. But do you know what I mean? And it was like they integrated the birth certificate with newborn hearing, metabolic screening, vaccination, birth defects, and it was a really, and they had a master patient index. It was like tantalizing, but since we're all working in communicable disease and NEDs and all, it was like something we might aspire to. But I was waiting to hear you say that you're going to move your lead data into that system or something. Does that ring any bells with you, or is it totally Greek to you?
I think I've heard of it slightly, and I actually am no longer at the main facility anymore. I actually work in newborn screening now, so I'm in a totally different environment than I was when I was working on this project. But I have heard of such a project, and definitely I feel like a push towards, you know, an MPI or Master Person Index would be a huge boon for every single Department of Health, because really that's one of the most challenging factors, is being able to uniquely identify an individual and pair all of their data throughout an environment that is the Department of Health. And I definitely think that's a challenge and something we all should definitely consider.
Has anybody else in the audience heard of that system? In the last 3 or 4 years, there were webinars and things about what the way of the future. And we have all these partitioned in our surveillance world systems, and it looked like a really interesting, almost like a public health electronic health record, where any kind of public health event that happened to a person would kind of have a tab on there or something, where we'd have an integrated public health surveillance system. But it looked, yeah. I thought Utah was going to be in the vanguard, but if you're in metabolic screening and you haven't heard of it, it kind of troubles me that that's...
Well, there's a disconnect between the hearing screening and our metabolic screening. They're two separate divisions, or two separate programs in the state, so...
Thank you.